I'm going to talk today about training healthcare providers in critical thinking skills and a patient-centered approach to doing so. I have no relationships to disclose. So, our vision at Physicians for Peace is one of a world where no one struggles with illness, disability, or death due to the lack of quality local health care. And our core purpose, Physicians for Peace transforms lives by training, supporting, and empowering healthcare professionals working with the world's underserved populations. Physicians for Peace was established in 1989 to help move communities from surviving to living and bring peace of mind to those who lack access to quality local healthcare. We target high-impact areas of healthcare that threaten developing countries to a disproportionate degree and turn small investments into dramatic outcomes. By harnessing the exponential power of education and training and providing resources, we found an effective and efficient way to help people help themselves. So what we do, as I said, we train, we support, and we empower. So we work in five therapeutic areas of care, including maternal and child health, surgery, which is where we got our start, burn care, mobility training in prosthetics and orthotics, and vision care. So we train, we use the train-the-trainer model, and we provide training both via lecture and hands-on training. We also support by providing materials, resources, curriculum, and equipment where needed to be able to put that training into action. And then we empower to empower those that we train by giving them the resources that they need to make decisions to help develop their work and reach a higher standard of care. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about the reality of low-resource health settings and the role of critical thinking in that. So how do these strategies inform our work, training in areas of patient-centered care and critical thinking? First, we'll explore the environment. Although developing regions of the world are gaining access to newer healthcare technology, a significant barrier to quality care remains a lack of intentional application of critical thinking skills. So even when providers do have the availability of reliable equipment, supply chains, and things of that nature, if they're lacking the knowledge to use them in a context with patient exams and treatment plans in order to improve patient care, then patients may receive substandard care and the equipment and technology, scarce or readily available, may in turn be underutilized. So a few challenges in providing quality health care. An under-resourced environment, this may mean working with donated and inconsistently supplied and poorly functioning materials, as in this photo in a NICU in Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. These are all donated materials sitting in an empty room waiting to be used, but they're lacking parts, they're lacking people that are able to repair them, and so it's a big room full of opportunity that goes unused. So there's a culture and a working environment that can be dictated by external forces such as socioeconomic status, this idea if only I had the stuff, then everything would be okay. So the result of that is a lack of why in treating patients. Providers can let their environments limit their approach to work, and understandably so. So the solution is a holistic care approach. So this is a broadened approach that incorporates environmental constraints. So Physicians for Peace works in the countries, on the units, in the hospitals where these constraints live and breathe every day. It goes beyond classroom training. Classroom training is part of it, but it goes beyond that to a higher analysis and creativity. So it's a multi-pronged, multidisciplinary approach to care that promotes creativity and empowerment of workers. And it's innovative. It combines the existing materials, so using what you have where you are, and critical thinking to allow providers to make more informed decisions about the care they're providing. So in turn, local norms and culture create a sustainable and an adaptable environment in the healthcare, providing healthcare to their patients. Patients receive improved healthcare as providers rely more on evidence and training rather than just rote activities. So I'm going to talk about a couple of examples where we've seen this play out. One is in Morocco. The environment is a small combined pediatric intensive care and neonatal intensive care unit in the capital city of Rabat. It's part of a private hospital. There's one physician who oversees the unit and about 15 nurses, all with diploma-level training. So what's happening here? The nurses are sort of practicing their daily activities in a rote way outside of the patient context. So an example, charting patient temperatures. They chart them as often as they need to chart them, as is described by their protocols. They have the training to do this, and they know how to do it. They're doing it effectively, but they're not taking any analysis of the trends that are happening with the temperature changes throughout the day, and as a result, no action is taken. So the nurses are really lacking an understanding of the whole picture of the patient and what's happening. Why are we taking temperatures? What does this mean? What do we need to do next? So an important component, which is holistic patient-centered care, the why of the patient care is absent. So in turn, critical information is lost between shifts because the chart is just handed off with no real explanation or higher analysis, and warning signs can go unnoticed. So the response, Physicians for Peace has been providing training to this unit, as I said, both lecture-based and hands-on. But it's really that training at the bedside through serial questioning, presenting a patient. Who is this patient? When did they come to the unit? What are their vital signs? What are the next steps? And talking through those with providers, with the nurses. Some of the topics included were patient presentation and treatment plans to look at it more holistically, vital signs and problem solving, analyzing patient monitors, etc. So since the training, the Moroccan nurses have implemented protocols and handoff procedures with their patients and have begun regularly analyzing patient vital signs. So the result is that the patients receive improved care. The next example is one that just happened a couple of weeks ago in Costa Rica. The environment is a children's hospital. It's a national referral hospital in the capital city of San Jose. It has both inpatient and outpatient care for burned children. There is surgery, physiatrists, occupational and physical therapists, nurses, social workers, and a teacher. So for this example, we have a surgery team. Well, we have because of the treatment of burns is a long process and involves rehabilitation, it's a constant battle to improve mobility and function of the patient, and a strong rehabilitation team is really key to that success. So the problem that we find is kind of fractured care or care by discipline. There's so many different disciplines involved in the care of these patients that when you divide it up by each individual provider instead of a whole treatment plan, the impact of the treatment is limited. So, for example, the surgery team performs a skin graft and applies a bandage post-surgery that works to cover the wound area, but it's too bulky that the physical therapist and the occupational therapist can't move the patient and get them to rehabilitation. So it's just really siloed examples of care. Another example is in a unit where an occupational therapist treats the patient from the wrist down and the neck up, and the physical therapist treats the rest of the patient. This is fractured care. These are examples of fractioned care. So the response is that we brought colleagues together and had some training there. We brought those from Colombia, the Dominican Republic, Costa Rica is where it was set, where the training happened, and in Panama. And the results, they came together and they presented their challenges, their successes, what they were doing, what they needed to do, and they shared that information together as a team. And the results are that they developed relationships between similarly resourced providers and facilities. So they could see in real life, you know, possible next steps to improving care. They could apply what they're learning into similarly resourced settings. And there is empowerment, so multidisciplinarily, seeing how different units work multidisciplinarily or don't, and the advantages and disadvantages to that care. So the providers gain a sense of value in their work by analyzing these similarities and differences, and they see future modifications of ideas presented by their colleagues in similarly situated environments. I'll read just a quick quote here from one of the presenters and trainees in this experience. I consider it to be a very valuable experience because not only did it permit me to get to know different Latin American burn units and their realities, but also permitted me to proudly value our burn care services in Hospital Simón Bolívar. In addition, I returned to my country with great motivation to improve each day more and more. It was exceptionally valuable to be able to interchange ideas and meet people from other countries with similar interests in burn patients. So next steps are to continue to train healthcare providers through approaches that really encourage this creativity and adaptability, working where you are with what you have and promoting this type of exchange among colleagues. Also, really looking at the lecture and hands-on training for opportunities to apply this higher level thinking and this treatment plan approach and looking at the whole patient. Additionally, we will be measuring and evaluating the outcomes. So, for example, in the Costa Rica example, at the end, the last day of training, each person who was there and presenting on their unit and learning from other units presented their next steps to their colleagues. So they gave those short-term and long-term goals. And so as an organization, Physicians for Peace will be following up on those efforts and, you know, providing a platform for them to share information, about cases, photographic evidence to show how they were able to put those trainings into practice.